Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
on every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very good Monday morning, May 23rd, 2022. What a busy, busy, busy sports weekend. You had the golf, if that's your thing. A lot of baseball, if that's your thing. A lot of hockey, if that's your thing. We have a lot going on this Monday morning. And I say good morning to my partner in crime, who I believed was my best friend until something startling happened on Friday, but we'll get to that later. But I say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David Hugh Rothenberg. Listen, regardless of what happened on Friday,
you know what you did.
I came guns a blazing for you last night. Guns a blazing.
Now, I don't know whether it is you felt guilty over what you did Friday or whether you just Ty's take was so stupid. It was so dumb that you became incensed and really, really had to fight back. But yes, it was, you did come guns a blazing.
This is what I do for my best friend. This is what I do for my best friend. I'm not going to let Ty try to take advantage of you. I'm not going to do it.
Don't bury. And I'll have RJ dig at the sand if he hasn't already, of what you said on Friday, which was, very, very hurtful and very unnecessary. I think you got wrapped up. I think you got wrapped up in your adoration for Michael Kay, and you just lost control of your words, and you had verbal diarrhea. So I'm going to assume that's what happened, but it was not your best look.
Well, you know what happens though, because now, and now it's not just the phone call in. Now I'm on the Comrex. I can see him in the TV, and I look into those beautiful eyes. And you're right, I got wrapped up. I got caught in the moment. See, because here's the thing though.
Very hurtful.
I've told you how many times I love working with you. I would never work with anyone else, and that's the truth. That's the fact. I love you.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not what you said. So we'll play that audio a little bit later. I'll have RJ grab it. But Ty, with this. It was so stupid. First of all, the Yankees can't score a run, right? They have one run in 18 innings of baseball last night. And he tweets out, during the second game, having lost the first game, who would have thought the Yankees would employ the two best, maybe three best pitchers in New York? And I was annoyed. I was like, and I really feel like this. I was like, it's such a troll tweet. It's embarrassing for you is what I wrote.
Well, this is exactly like Ty's the definition of why Mets fans hate Yankees fans.
Because first of all, it's a stupid. You know, why would you tweet that? It's not like the Mets allowed 16 runs. Taijuan Walker was amazing. Carlos Carrasco was terrific. So the Mets pitching was excellent this weekend, except for the second game on Saturday night. Which, you know what, Trevor Williams was eh. And then the
Which you kind of expected, right? As good as he was his last start? It's like okay, you know, at some point, like this is the reason why. He's not in your rotation, right? Like he's the good maybe if you need him, but like if we keep going back to that well, you're going to have one of those.
He's what is he? Right now he's your fifth starter and you have three starters out. So is he probably an eighth or ninth starter in a rotation? Yeah, that's probably what Trevor Williams is, right?
Yeah, you're in your depth right now. Like let's relax. You know, by the way, we won the series.
Right. His team lost the series and yet he's somehow trolling. And then he's like, well, it's never too late to hop on board, Dave. Our owner is pretty wealthy, too. And I guess at that point you were like, I'm done. Enough.
That was it.
And then you went after his lack of podcasting
skills.
And by
the way, and don't ever. Don't you dare. I don't care how much your team is worth. Don't ever put your owner and my owner in the same conversation wealth-wise.
No.
Ever.
No. Not even.
Ever.
Not even for a second. Listen, you can't do, or not, I don't know, can't. You wouldn't do, the Yankees wouldn't do what the Mets did with Robinson Cano. I don't believe they would.
No, but it's not even, they're not even in the same conversation wealth-wise. Like, the Yankees' business is the Yankees. The Mets is Steve Cohen's hobby.
Yeah,
stop it.
It's an art, like his art, you know?
Like his
it's
art just, collection.
It's fun.
Yeah, stop
fun.
It.
It's fun stuff on the side. So then you and Ty started going at it. And he says, only if you promised me to do the Open, but I'd make sure to let you know weeks in advance to prepare because I wouldn't want to put you in a tough spot. And then you said, as long as you promise to film me doing the Open, like you film yourself doing barefoot half squats at Planet Fitness. And he says, I'd invite you to show me how it's done, but we know you'd struggle when it comes to attending group functions, so I may be screwed. And then that was 10:29, and I figured you were probably sleeping at that point. That
yeah, week. I was. I gave him. Yeah. I had the two salvos. That was it.
Yeah,
I don't know much more. I don't know how much more he could take. It was it.
Yeah, that was it. But I was impressed, and I was surprised that you.
First time I think I've ever done that.
I don't like getting into these battles on Twitter either, but his first take was so stupid to me that I couldn't sit back.
I kind of like it.
Yeah?
I actually kind of like it. I think I'm almost addicted to it. Because then you get the company, they get involved, and then they're weighing in.
And they'll
go
after anybody.
Oh, I love it.
It's like Charles Manson had his family. We have the company.
Oh, it's the best.
They'll murder anybody, those people.
We got scorecards there. So, I mean, we got pitchers being made up. This is great.
It really was. All right, so... I know you know this, but let me just refresh your memory and everyone else out there. In the 7 o'clock hour today, tickets. Tickets to the Rangers and the Hurricanes game 4, which, whew, that was dicey yesterday, but the Rangers get a victory. And now game 4 has ultimate importance because the Rangers have a chance to hold serve at home and send this game back 2-2 to Carolina.
Yeah, but I mean, this is something that we talked about, is that Carolina has been a completely different team at home. You saw it in the Boston series. Carolina was dominant at home, and then they've yet to win a road game. So Rangers came out, Gallant switched up the lines a little bit, get them going, and you know, luckily for Rangers fans, the big boy showed up last night. Mika was, I mean, for me, outside of Shesterkin, Mika was the best player on the ice.
Mika was really good.
He was
really,
phenomenal.
Really good.
And when he's good, now Kreider's good. Panarin had that really nice pass to Mika on the first power play goal. I thought that was big scoring the first goal. But here's the thing, is I know people were frustrated with what they saw in game one in that third period, and then even in game two with the, you know, the lack of, you know, chances and scoring and everything else. The Rangers are not comfortable playing that style yet. They're not. That's not who the Rangers are. The Rangers are a team that can sit back and lock it up. And, you know, clog up the neutral zone and be patient. That's not who they are, right? That's why the Rangers have had so many times this season where they've come back and won games. Why, what you saw in 5, 6, and 7 in the Penguins, is that's where they're most comfortable, when they can open things up and they can attack. But when you do that, you're going to give up chances. And in the first period, they give up, especially early in that first period, a lot of chances.
Oh my!
So you're going to lean on Shesterkin, and he was awesome.
Awesome.
And of course, the one goal he lets in is
what a terrible goal.
I don't know. I can't give you a number of shots from that very spot on a backhand that he would let in.
Because well, that's Sean McDonough did. Sean McDonough right away goes, if he had that shot 100 times, he stops at 99. It might be higher than that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd go more than 100, and he'd let in. I don't know if I'd ever see him letting a goal like that, because it went through him.
One out of like 500. That was a brutal goal.
It was not a great goal, though.
It was a brutal, brutal goal. Because it was nothing on it.
No, it was just, I mean, it was just a backhander to, I mean, a backhand to the net.
Right. But you know what? He more than made up for it. Because oh boy, was he good yesterday.
No, he was phenomenal.
That one sprawling save in the first period. Right? Remember that one?
I forget who it was, but
he came, and he just like sprawled out and smothered the puck. Yeah, he was great. But that's what they need. I mean, if the Rangers are going to win these games, that's what you need. You need to capitalize on your opportunities. And we were not on since game 2 together, but I mean, you talk about a repulsive 5 minutes of hockey. You have a four-minute power play in game two, a double minor. And by the time the double minor, and it's scoreless, mind you. Double minor is done, you're trailing, and now you're shorthanded.
Yeah. Not a great sequence for them.
No, that was
at all. Yeah, no. But that was, again, that was one of those games, too, where it was, I mean, on both sides. So you had the shorthanded goal, then you have the empty net goal. But there was, I mean, there weren't a lot of chances back and forth. But, I mean, at the end of it, it doesn't really matter because Carolina gets the win. But I thought first shift the last night's game, Rangers came out flying in that first shift. Guy Kako had another empty net.
Can you hit the net, please?
He had another empty net. And then Carolina kind of took over and had a bunch of really good chances. But, I mean, this is the beauty of having the best goalie in the NHL right now. Or the goalie that's had the best season in the NHL right now is that he allows you to open it up. And he's back there to make the big saves when he has to.
He was sensational.
You know what I love about him, too? This is why, and you asked me, I don't know if it was Kay that asked me. I think Kay asked me on Friday.
Oh, now you're combining me and Kay?
Well, no, because he asked me, I forget who, it was him that asked me about how good Igor is on a scale of 1 to 10. And you know this because we work together every day, that I think that Vasilevsky is the best goalie in the NHL. So if he was the 10, then I was like, Shesterkin's, he's a 9, maybe a little higher than a 9, because I love watching him play. But what makes him so good, and I think the save that you're talking about, is the one where he kind of dives out with the poke check. Like it was the poke check, kind of like two-pad stack where he dives out.
Yes.
But he's willing to do stuff like that. Like a lot of the goalies now get so stuck in the technical aspect of their game. It's like they're stuck in like, okay, I got to come over in position, and I don't want to get out of my technique. No, he's like, if he needs to be an athlete, he'll be an athlete. Like, he'll come out of that. He'll do the, you know, he has the poke check. He can handle the puck. Like every part of his game is so, I mean, it's so solid. It's so good, man. It's, I'll say this, and who knows how the series is going to turn out, because I love the Rangers' chances here coming up in game four because of Carolina just not winning on the road.
Yeah, but they don't lose at home.
There are so many positive things to take out of what you're seeing right now, starting with Shesterkin. And then, you know, I'm telling you what, and I was critical of him early in the season just because I expect so much out of him. But Lafreniere and everything about his game, though, like just like he's not afraid of the physical stuff. Like he'll jump in for a teammate, like just all of it. Like it's just it's a really good sign for this Rangers team because, again, this is early for them. I mean, they're in round two here. This is between the regular season now winning.
Nobody thought we'd be sitting here breaking down game four of the Eastern Conference semifinals.
No.
Nobody.
Okay, last night, because me and you have been on, like, this, even before the show, on point, like, we're finishing each other's sentences.
Honestly, it was gorgeous. I gotta tell people what happened. And RJ was there. He witnessed this. So Rick says on the Zoom call, he says, I forget what the exact quote was. Like, do you know who's just phenomenal? I mean, this is a weekend where we had so much sports. You could have gone anywhere. You could have, like, Justin Thomas. I mean, right? Anybody. And I said, and we said at the same exact time, Guillaume. Have you ever felt closer to anybody in your life?
No. After what happened last night with the Twitter war and then this, it's a culmination of all of it as well.
It does. It does feel like a culmination. But continue.
Okay, last night, late in that game, there was a play. Now, this is late in the game, where a play was there to be made, didn't get made, and I said,
cried
to my
empty net. I mean, oh, my God.
I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Because it's not like, you know, if he would have walked down and missed it and there was 9 seconds left, you'd be like, all right. He missed it. There was still 2 minutes left.
Yes.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And even Alex, he was watching the game, he goes, he scores 52 goals. he scores 52 goals, and he can't put that puck in the net with no goalie.
Oh. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I think everybody was. But and how about the goal they scored?
Oh, the Kreider goal?
No. The empty netter from
from Mott. Yeah.
I mean, the backhand all the way down the ice. What are the odds of that?
No, I know. I think he's just flipping it down the ice, to be honest.
Well, just flipping it down the ice happens to go in, but the one where the guy's like 15 feet out and he has a wide open net, he can't hit it.
He can't bury it. The guy who led your team in goals can't bury it in the empty net.
And scored a beautiful goal earlier in the game.
Yeah, beautiful. Good shot. Terrible. I mean, Ranta, that's not a great
No, that's bad on Ronta.
No, I mean, he can't be. It's an off-angle shot, and he's kind of like tucked into his pole. It's just not a great.
I appreciated it.
Oh, I did too. Oh, but I mean, what you should appreciate is what Mika did to D'Angelo, knocking his stick right out of his hand.
I love that.
D'Angelo needs a good beating, let's be honest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's many words I could say that I won't say, but he's just, I'll say unlikable.
Oh, your coach said him. I probably promise you that. Your coach said him.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I would pay, you know, I've never been to a boxing match or a fight before. I would pay good money to watch D'Angelo and Galant go at it.
It wouldn't be a great fight.
You think Galant would kill him?
I would kill him. Have you ever seen any Galant video? Look
no.
up some, Google some Galant video.
But how savage. Old is he?
It doesn't matter. When those wires cross up, see you later.
He would pummel him?
Oh, destroy him.
He's 58.
I don't care. He's got the man strength. No chance. I wouldn't fight him.
So if Glant was in and you guys were joking around and it got, you know, like it was about to go, you would just, coach, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my bad. I apologize.
You wouldn't want to go with Glant.
Yeah, have you looked into those eyes?
He's no a little chance. Crazy.
Oh, yeah. Little crazy. Nuts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Get out of our way, because now we take this baby right to the 6 o'clock nubs. All the way. I know it's a lot for you, but you know what? It's what we need to do for our listeners, for our people.
I love it. Right to the nubs. Sweep right through.
Right through.
I like doing the show so much with you. I could do 3 straight hours, no commercials.
Well, you could, because you don't do anything but just give your
opinion. Don't say that.
I'm all over the place.
Don't say that. Did you see, I mean, the efficiency in which I did those reads on Friday for you?
Yeah. You did them beautifully.
But I was like Michael Kopech on Friday.
Nearly perfect?
Just mowing reads down.
Should we give you some more today? Since you were so good and now you're bragging about it?
No, I'm a little braggadocious, but I think it would be
got a 612 Capital One banking would be nice. A 625 O'Reilly Car Care would be nice.
You know what? Send it my way. I'll do it. Send it.
712 Straight Talk Wireless Cutting. We should send that your way as well.
Send that my way.
All right, RJ's going to send you those three babies, and then you can read them, and that would take a tremendous load off my back. So that'd be great.
Whatever kind of load I can wipe right off your back, I'm more than happy to do it.
You really have some deep-seated issues, don't you? No, honestly. So I asked the question to Kay. Did you hear Kay call my Saturday show?
I did hear him.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of the app. You anywhere.
I mean, what an app that is, right? Go to the App Store, ESPN New York. You just download the whole thing, and then you can listen to anything wherever, right? Because nobody wanted to be inside on Saturday. It was beautiful. It was hot. You want to be out. But Ty and everyone else trying to perpetuate that Kay hates me because I went to the game and he didn't go to the game. he called to set the record straight. He didn't have an issue with me that I went. In fact, he said he was thrilled that I went. His issue was that he wasn't able to get to the game. In fact, he didn't even want to go to Game 7. He tried to go to Game 5, asked for tickets. They're like, sorry, there's absolutely no way that you can get tickets. So that was his issue.
Oh, by the way, too, just so everyone knows, there was no way that he was supposed to get tickets to yesterday's game either.
Until he went all the way up the ladder.
All
the way up the ladder. But I don't understand. Like, wouldn't you think if you're like a big client and you're at a game that if Michael Kay is there, it just adds to it? It just enhances the moment?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would probably, like, if in that moment, I would probably make my first call would be to Kay. Like, hey, listen, by the way, you know, do you need a couple tickets to this game? We'd like to have you in the suite.
Yeah. I'd like you to be there.
You probably not, just because you'd have sponsors at work moving tables and chairs and everything else. But like, Kay, yeah, absolutely.
You say that, but RJ can attest to this. When they found out it was me, because they're like, "Who's this lunatic?" And like, I was like, "Hey, I'm Dave Adu." And they're like, "Wait, are you Dave Rothenberg?" I was like, "Yeah." They're like, "Oh, this is great." Like, people were truly very excited to enjoy the game with me.
Well, yeah, I don't know with you as opposed to watch you enjoy the game.
Whatever. Which I actually agree with. See, Michael's like, he's a gentleman, right? Like, he can watch it. He can partake in conversation. He's nice. He's interesting. He's entertaining. You get to, like, enjoy watching a game with Michael Kay. With me, it's like you get a savage lunatic who's watching the game in your presence.
It's like going to the zoo, really. It's like, here's the difference. It's like, if you went to the zoo and Michael was there, Michael would be like the zookeeper, and you get to sit and have a conversation with Michael about, hey, what's it like taking care of, this lion?
I'm the rhinoceros that's charging the glass.
You're the actual lion, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That everyone's talking about.
But RJ, I think you can attest to this. I was a hit in that suite. Not for the lion. I was very personable to the people.
The people loved you, but it is, as you said, if you weren't you, and if the people didn't love you, it was a true testament. If the people in the suite didn't like you, they may have thrown you over. But they found out.
Or were scared of him, though, let's be honest.
Well, they found out who he was, and all of a sudden it became, the circus music started playing. It's like, wow, let's see what we can get here.
No, you know what? This is so unfair. Because it's not like I was the only one who was on edge and was going crazy. Everyone was going nuts.
No, but you have a different way of handling yourself.
Yeah, like when sane people go crazy, it's like not scary. But when a crazy person goes crazy, then it's a little bit scary.
Jeez. So you saw me last Sunday night and thought, oh my God. Like, this is
he's unhinged.
This is her. Well, I want to hear from RJ because he was there. He witnessed it. You were like, oh my God, he's crazy. And this is what we've heard about for years.
I think that people knew that there was a wide range of outcomes and they were just going to let you roam.
I got to be honest. I wasn't even that crazy.
Well, because RJ was there to tame you.
No, RJ said they're doing video work of me.
Yeah, swearing into the camera.
Yeah, we had to get that out to the masses. I couldn't keep that to myself. We had to bring people inside the suite.
I think RJ did a fantastic job.
I didn't appreciate it.
Well, what do you mean? He took you home, and you had two, almost 3 days without a voice. Had he let you run wild, who knows? I would have lost you for the whole week, probably.
You wouldn't have lost me. I just would have been a little hampered.
No, we may have actually lost you, like to the streets.
No, that's what I mean. Up.
Yeah.
Not everyone shows up all the time. I show up.
You'd probably be a gutter snipe right now. Hurley be looking for you on the streets with the Comrex trying to get you on.
That's right. Excuse me. If you move that cardboard box over, we can plug this baby in.
Have you heard of the mole people?
I would be a mole person. If we would have stayed at it like 3:45, I would have been like, RJ, psst, come here. Let's go down with the mole people. Let's go meet them.
That's all we would have needed for you to go right from the strippers.
I am live down here with the mole people.
From the strippers and then make your way down underground.
And
just what we would have needed.
One other thing I've seen people tweet. A lot of people have said, oh, this is Dave because he's unhinged. He's partying. He's in his element. Dave didn't even, not only did he not have a drop of alcohol, he didn't even go near it. This is pure Dave.
I said this on Saturday. A couple things I wanted to get into from Saturday's show. I am actually, for me, anti-alcohol when it comes to sporting events. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Big sporting events, why? Because I want to concentrate, and I don't want to be inebriated and not focus on the task at hand.
No one said you have to go start shotgunning beers or doing shots, but like one drink doesn't calm your nerves a little bit?
Why? No, I don't want it. I can't tell you how many times I've been at a game and it's like, here, here, drink this. I'm like, no, no, I don't want it. Oh, you have a problem? Oh, okay, we'll keep it. No, I don't. Why? Why can't I just not want to have a drink? Why do you have to push beer on me? I don't want it.
What if we get you like a nice wine cooler or something?
I don't want it. It's not that there's an alcohol that I'm not having that I would like to have. It's the fact that I don't like to drink during big moments.
What, a hard seltzer, maybe?
Do you not understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand exactly what you're saying.
I'm using words. I feel like, what is it, Chris Tucker's like, are you understanding the words I am using right now?
No, it's coming out of my mouth. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah.
No, I understand the words.
I don't like to drink in big moments.
There were times that I wish I could have a drink before I played, just to calm my nerves.
Why, you don't think there are guys that have a quick shot before the game?
I've never seen that with hockey. I know I've heard stories. I mean, didn't Marshawn Lynch say he would do a shot before he went out?
Yes.
Of guys that would do that?
Yes. Just to relax you a little bit.
That's the biggest.
Here's the thing. I'm not looking to relax.
Oh, we understand that. Yeah, we get it. I'm just thinking, like, maybe, you know, as we kind of settle in for the first period for puck drop, maybe we have a couple sips of a beer just to slow us down a little bit.
I'm not looking to slow down.
We all realize that.
I'm looking to rev. I might have a Red Bull.
You're going one way. Everyone's trying to go the other.
I'm going up the escalator. Everyone else going down the escalator.
I like it. So this is what makes you you. That's why you're special.
So I asked this question to Kay, and he's like, that's a good question. I said, if there was one person at the station right now, I asked you, I think, also, who needed therapy, who would it be? I think you said me. He says Don.
Yeah, which makes no sense, though.
Don explained crushing a microphone into his head live on the air.
Yeah, but he's not really looking out for everybody, though, because his rationale was Don's so troubled that he's afraid he'll hurt himself. And then he says, and with you, you could hurt other people. So if the thought is that unhinged Dave could hurt other people, I think we should get you help first. And then we can move on to Don.
So you worry that I'm going to hurt others?
No, that's what Kay said. That's not what I said. That's what he
but
said.
I'm saying, is that a concern for you?
Well, no, there are things that you do, like you're not beating yourself with a microphone or whatever Don decides he wants to do in the moment, but you're throwing treadmills through windows, you're breaking.
I did not throw it. I pushed it through, and it just broke the glass.
But yeah, when you get like that, you're like an emotional terrorist, though. Like, you're like snapping wedding DVD.
That's
like,
me by banging my forehead on the microphone.
Yeah, that sounds like a stable man.
Yeah, you get nasty with other people, though. You hurt other people's feelings.
If they were going to send like audio of when a guy he's lost it, that would be the audio.
I hate you people. I hate them. I hate them.
What do you mean that would be the audio? I mean, you go into the archives. I mean, if someone was recording
our call, he banged his head against the mic.
Our business phone call, they could use that.
I can't. That's what I just can't believe. I can't believe we're on a Zoom call to talk about a charity event we were going to do. And I guess Michael said something that Don didn't like, and Don went crazy.
Went crazy.
Of course I missed it, because we used some bizarro Zoom, and I couldn't get download the thing, and
I'm sorry
missed it.
That I'm passionate.
I was having the same problem as you were. I got on right at the right time.
Oh, gosh.
Smashing right. Water bottles. Oh, it was phenomenal.
Oh,
I like the one where he's eating the oranges, and then the one where he has the coughing fit on purpose. That might be my favorite one.
The intentional coughing fit.
Oh,
like
so...
I mean, everybody in radio, like it's your biggest nightmare is just uncontrolled coughing, and there's nothing you can do. Don does intentional uncontrolled coughing.
All right, how about that?
Such a disaster. But I love when he makes fun of me. I mean, he's if not equally troubled, would you not say troubled?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, clearly troubled, right?
Yeah, serious issues.
All right, let's get to the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Yov in Israel. We go to our happy place. Good morning, Yov.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great. Where in Israel are you, Yov?
I'm living in Rehovot. It's near Tel Aviv, like 30 minutes drive, something like this. Queens to New York, something like this.
Oh, nice. Put into perspective for us. We appreciate it. What do you got this morning?
So I want to be an optimistic guy about the Rangers. And listen, they did play, I think, fine in Carolina. They didn't play well. They played fine, especially in the defense. They didn't gave up big chances. They didn't gave up many goals. But I think they need to win four straight games because they're not going to win game seven in Carolina. And that's why I think they're going to lose this series. And I want to hear what do you guys think about this.
Yeah, but you never know. Yo, you never know what's going to happen in a game seven. You take care of your business here in game four. Go back to Carolina tied 2-2. Carolina's a much better team at home. I mean, they have the matchups that they like, right?
That's
Well, I get that's the dream. I understand that. But, I mean, let's not pretend like Igor didn't stand on his head yesterday, too. Let's not forget that. And Ronta's playing good.
If you're going to win games, that's how you're going to win games. You're going to get timely goal scoring. Listen, there's not going to be a lot of goals in this series, right?
No, I mean, at this rate, no, you wouldn't imagine so.
There were three in game one. There were two, which was inclusive of an empty netter in game two. And there were, four, which was inclusive of an empty netter in game three. So you're not getting a lot of goals.
That's correct.
Which I think in many ways plays to the Rangers' advantage. Because it's close. I mean,
it's
both
close.
Games in Carolina, right? You had a 1-0 lead throughout the first game. And then the second game, you were scoreless well into late into the second period.
Yeah, I mean, if we start eliminating empty net goals, I mean, you scored one in Carolina. They only scored three. So, yeah, I mean, this is, again, I mean, like I keep saying, you have to give Igor the opportunity to be Igor. And I think for the most part, they've done a good job with that.
You did last night. Right, yeah. There's not a million deflections. He was not making. I mean, he was making great saves, but I thought against Pittsburgh, it was too much. Like you were hanging him out to dry. I thought last night was like a typical regular season Igor Shesterkin.
Okay, but that's a lot of pressure. I mean, that's a tall task for him to play that well every night.
Why do you think the guy's up for the MVP of the league?
Oh, I understand that. I get it. So, I mean, again, there should be some – I mean, you can build confidence in that because you've seen it for the entirety of the season. But that's also a scary proposition.
It is, but that is your recipe. Because if you don't have great Shesterkin, you're not winning games.
No, but, yeah, I mean, you're also – I mean, you feel good about great Shesterkin because you've seen it all season long, right? There has to be really good Mika and really good Kreider and really good Panarin. Like, those guys need to show up.
You know – even though he had the great play on the power play yesterday, I didn't think Panarin was great again.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, this is a tough matchup just in general, just because of how well this team skates, how well they forecheck. They take time and space away. I mean, even their penalty kill is just pressure, pressure, pressure. So, I mean, this is not an easy
series.
Their
power play stinks, huh?
Carolina, especially on the road, their power play is trash.
God.
Yeah,
very unsightly.
Yeah, their power play on the road is kicking at about 5% right now.
5%. All right, it's good for the Rangers. Let's go to Kenny in Jersey. Good morning, Ken. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I called originally to kind of tweak my prediction, but then I thought about it, and I listened to what you said, Dave, and you're right. Carolina don't score much, right? And then we got a brick wall in goal, Igor. So we should absolutely win the next three. We should win the next one at the Garden. Right, that ties 2-2. We go to game five and we win that in Carolina on pure inertia, right? And then we'll have Carolina pressing, trying to play out of their game, right? And then we'll take game six at the Garden. It won't even go game seven. It'll still go 4-2 Rangers.
I love
why don't we worry
optimism.
About game four first? Let's focus on winning game four first. How about that?
I don't understand how anybody can feel like
because your prediction
we're gonna win four games in a row.
Yeah, because your prediction in six could turn in Rangers losing five. So let's focus on game four first. Right?
Rangers don't win tomorrow. You never see another home game this postseason.
I think you're in trouble. Yeah,
you're done.
Let's not forget. Okay, here's the thing though. Igor Shesterkin is going to win the Vezina, and for my money, if we're focused on just like what most valuable to his team means, like he's right there for me. As far as the MVP is concerned, like he's had one of the great seasons in the history of the NHL for a goalie. Like it's that good. Carolina is the best defensive team. Carolina had the best goals against average in the league. better than the Rangers.
Without the goaltending the Rangers have.
Yeah, right. So, Carolina won the Jennings. They had the best goals against average in the NHL. So you may not feel like, especially because on the road, they don't score a lot of goals. They've played four road games. They've scored seven goals on the road. So they don't score a lot of goals on the road. But that's, I mean, this is one of the best defensive teams, regardless of goalie, in the NHL. So, okay, be excited. You should be. And be optimistic because Carolina hasn't won a road game yet. But let's focus on game four first before we start writing this series off in six. Holy moly.
I don't understand. And it's not like the Rangers won yesterday 6-1. It was like, oh, we're back. It's happening. I mean, you lost the first two games. You could have stolen one. And then you came home and you played okay, and your goalie was phenomenal.
Do you understand?
You go from this to we're going to win four games in a row?
Okay, let me just make sure you tune in today at 3 o'clock to the point, because I got to do like they text me at night, what's the turning point? It's a play that most people may not have noticed. I think you probably noticed it. So Lafreniere takes the high-sticking penalty at the end of the second period, right? So that power play carries over into the third. So Igor makes this unbelievable shoulder save on Teravainen, right? It was awesome. It's like a hockey card save. But after that, D'Angelo takes a shot from the point through a screen that Igor can't see. He has no idea where it is, and it just randomly hits him in the foot. That puck goes in? We're having a different conversation right now.
It felt like game one, but it didn't happen. Is if Carolina ties it, you're not winning. It felt like if Carolina tied that game yesterday, you weren't winning. Now, they didn't. But, I mean, we go from getting a win to now you're going to win four in a row. Can we focus on winning game four first
and then
we focus on what's going to happen after that?
Speaking of which, because I knew it drove you crazy earlier in the series, is that Lorenz gets the breakaway. Lindgren, you know which one I'm talking about. Lindgren goes to deflect the pass, and Lorenz goes in on a breakaway.
Yeah, of course.
They had a lot of chances, guys. Let's relax here a little bit.
Yeah, but you know what? They won, and you should feel great about that.
Then Mott takes a penalty later on. I mean, this is, again, this is a good Carolina team.
And I like Mott, and he's a tough, hard-nosed guy, and you're getting what you expected to get from him. But what are you doing?
I don't know. It's the heat of the moment. You make plays like that. I think some guys just expect, because it's the playoffs, like you get away with stuff. I have a real problem right now with what's going on in the NHL with some of these calls I do. Like, there are some calls I'm like, I mean, there was a cross-checking call against Hornquist that was like barely a cross-check, and then you had, I mean, Hagel almost killed the guy, and he gets a two-minute penalty, and then Lucic last night tries to hold up and hits the goalie. He gets a five-minute penalty and gets kicked out. It's like, it doesn't compute in my mind how we're making these judgment calls.
Yeah, the officiating in every sport is bad.
But this is Toronto, though, Dave. This is going up like this isn't like heat of the moment. Okay, I'm making it. It's really moving fast. I'm going to make this call. It's like, we're going to review it. So this goes to the command center,
right?
And they watch 5 million replays.
But how many times do you watch a football game and they replay it and you're like, okay, this is going to clearly go this way, and it's pretty obvious, and they come back and it's like, nope, we're not going to change the call.
We're not going to
give you the call you expect.
I would love to be a fly on the wall to listen to the rationale going on.
Or baseball. We're like, all right, clearly he was going to be out. It was obvious. And then, like, no, he was safe. Like, how did that happen?
Some of it just has you shaking your head.
All the time. All right, let's hear from Gerard Gallant. Couple of sound bites from him. Firstly, the Rangers head coach on the win.
Killed some penalties, scored a power play goal. That's how you win hockey games in tight games. So it was a battle, tight battle again tonight. They obviously, Igor was outstanding for us, and that was the key.
Sure was. Igor. That's the thing, though. Your goalie has to be better than the opposition goalie to give you a chance to win these games.
Well, listen, if you're going to give up 35 shots in the first two periods, yeah.
Well, they have 18 in the first period?
17 in the first, 18 in the second.
I mean, my God.
It's a lot. But again, I mean, if you give them opportunities, like if it's chances, it's not broken plays, backdoor pass, backdoor plays, stuff like that. I mean, he's that good.
He can do it. He was that good yesterday, that's for sure.
It's a lot of heavy lifting, though.
And it's every game. More from Gallant. This is a very tough-minded group.
We've done that all year long. I mean, I'm disappointed, obviously, with the first two games losing them. But like I've said, I like the way we played in battle in those two games in Carolina. And tonight, we felt we were going to win the hockey game tonight. I mean, like our goalie was outstanding in the first half of the game and made some big key saves for us. But I thought we played well enough to win.
I would agree with that. Played well enough to win, and they got the victory. So now you got a series again, my friend.
Well, no, you absolutely. But I thought this would still be. I wasn't overly. I wasn't like doom and gloom after they lost the first two in Carolina.
You can't have felt good though.
No, listen. It felt worse because of how well they played in the first 40 of game one. Like that was your chance to steal a game. But I mean, having watched, you know, every minute of the Boston Carolina series, I mean, Carolina with the matchups and everything else, I mean, the Rangers still can't win faceoffs. Like I could understand why Carolina would win those first two home games. Like here, listen to this. So here's a perfect example of what happened down in Carolina. And they did the same thing to Boston, to Marchand, who's one of the best players in the league. So when they have their matchups and everything else, you know, they get Stahl's line out against Mika. First two games, Kreider, Panarin, and Zibanejad, your three best players. No goals, no assists, 0 points, only had 7 shots. Game three, they had 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points, and 10 shots.
It's amazing that you could hold that line to nothing in two games.
That's what Carolina does, man. And the other thing, because one of the bigger problems, too, is that the Rangers don't win faceoffs. So if all of a sudden I get my matchups and Stahl is dominating the faceoff circle, I mean, what happens? I win the faceoff. Now all of a sudden I have possession. I'm eating, what, you know, 15, 20, 30 seconds of a one-minute shift. And before you know it, you know, puck's out of our zone. And then, you know, Mika's line's got to change. Okay, job. I took care of my job. That's a big advantage when you win as many faceoffs as Carolina does.
Yeah, but huge, it's not advantage. Like this is new for the Rangers. They're just bad at faceoff. Same thing against Pittsburgh.
They've struggled. Yes, they have absolutely struggled.
And then you got, I guess with the name Domi, you're going to get some cheap shots, right? Yesterday you got the Domi cheap shot on Lindgren, and Gerard Gallant, he was not pleased about it.
No, I wasn't happy with the at the end of the game that they initiated. You know, we didn't do that when the games were close. We put, you know, they put their guys on. That's fine. If they want to play like that, we got the guys that can match up. I don't like it at the end of a game. The game's over. You know, we still got 4 games to go with those guys. I mean, they're not sending any message. We got the guy that can handle all their guys if we want to. We didn't do it like that, but Domi took a cheap shot of their defenseman, and you got a long memory in this. You think about things, and like I said, might be on the other foot someday.
Oh. I mean, if you play for this guy, how could that not give you chills and you'd run through a wall for him?
Oh, of course it does. And you know what else is nice is when you have Reeves on your team.
That's
who's
right.
The ultimate. I mean, he's the.
We can hang with the big boys. That we are one of the big boys.
No, he's the biggest boy.
So is of all the guys in the NHL right now, is he the last one you'd want to mess with?
He's right there.
He's right
in
there. Right?
In this series, I mean, as far as the series is concerned, yeah, he's the guy.
But he can actually play.
Oh yeah, you have to be able to play now. There's no just tough guy enforcers now.
So were there guys in the day who now just wouldn't
lots.
Be able to be in the NHL?
Oh yeah, lots of them. Lots of guys
because they just couldn't play the game at a high enough level.
No, they couldn't. Yeah, they couldn't contribute with how fast the game is now, how offensive the game is now. No, you couldn't. It would be a liability. Now you got to be able to play.
Stay tuned throughout today's show, of course, and we mentioned this earlier, but I want to mention again for your chance to win your way into Game 4 at Madison Square Garden. Here's what I'd like to say. I'll throw it out there. I'm going to need confirmation from all you guys here. We know Santiago will be at the game, so we don't need confirmation from him. If the Rangers somehow win Games 4 and 5, which is a big if. Show trip 6.
What day is that game?
Tuesday. I guess it would be Saturday. Probably a Saturday night.
I got to check my schedule.
Oh, God, for God's sakes. I mean, you're unbelievable.
I got a very busy week, David. Very busy week.
So, RJ, would you like to go again at least?
I will go if Rick goes.
Oh,
so now you're old because you don't want to be alone with me.
No, I love you. I trust you. I'm scared of where I'll end up on a Saturday. Probably a place with large men without sleeves on their shirts and a lot of cigar smoke and other things.
We'll see naked ladies.
Yeah, who knows? But if Rick goes, that's the caveat.
So you'll only go if Rick goes.
Yes.
Well, how am I supposed to feel about that?
Because we have to force his hand. Otherwise, this is not going to happen. I would also like to take this moment to shed me as the one that holds us back. It is not me anymore.
I think it's fair.
Well, I mean, by definition, though, you did hold Dave back, though.
Yes.
No, I didn't show up, but I wouldn't.
But
had
you been there, he wouldn't have been able to hold us back.
No, there would have been no chance of that.
He would have been right along with us.
And then the show would have been, who knows?
Numerous busters doing different things.
Yeah, the show, you'd both be in in prison. It would just be and.
So you think if Rick is at the game, it goes from we're having pizza and then I can't get you to do anything else to we'd be in prison.
There's no DPHR or Rotham Gray. It's just and.
We'll go to underground casino parlors.
Welcome to and.
Parlors.
Could you imagine the number on that show if we were doing a live from prison? Holding cell?
It'd be like Johnny Cash.
Oh, Folsom Prison. Let's go.
Live from San Quentin.
I think that'd be a big number.
Rikers.
I don't know how well we would. I don't think we'd do well there.
Oh, I got pythons.
I don't think your pythons would stand up in prison.
I'll pose like a pig with an apple in my mouth with one of them if you want.
The day two, you'd have a hairnet and a crop top on, I would imagine.
I have a big one. I'd
be like the guy in Silence of the Lambs.
Getting passed around.
Pantless freak.
It would be.
Awful. I'm naked right now.
I'd probably have to sell you around for favors.
Just get naked. You would sell me out so quickly in prison.
To keep myself safe.
Yeah, right. You'd be like, listen, here's what I have. Here's what I can provide you with.
Now I hugged hard bodies the other night.
He's got very soft hands.
Very soft hands. He can't do manual labor, but there's a lot of things that you can take advantage of him with. And as you guys are in the throes of stuff, if you want to ask him where a particular player went to college, he can also help you out there.
And welcome aboard.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, very multifaceted you are.
Give me my little cookie. And then some big goon.
I could imagine that would be said to you numerous times, I would imagine, the first week.
Give me my little cookie. I would be the cookie.
Yes.
Right?
It would be, yeah.
Probably like what we do. I got it.
Probably like a double stuffed Oreo, I would imagine.
I don't think I would do well in prison.
No, you'd do terrible, I think.
Terrible.
I'm not sure you'd last.
Let's go. You want to go? Let's go. We'll go all the way.
I think it could go two ways. Either you struggle early or before you know it, you've taken the entire prison over.
Unless there's a Giants game.
If
we happen to wind up in prison on a football Sunday, I think I might run that thing by the end.
First down! Oh, my God!
Or out in the yard, they're playing a little football and they see how you react. Maybe they like asking you questions. Maybe we do a Stump Rothenberg, see how
that's
that goes
right.
over.
All right, everybody gather around. Come here. Come here, you. Styles, come on.
We got Hurley comes to the station. All right, guys, we've bailed you out. No, we're staying.
Dave's staying.
He loves it.
We get free rent. The food's not so bad, and the guys are great.
Dave, we'll miss you. Dave.
These are my people. Oh, all right, so 1-800-919-3776. Obviously, a lot of Rangers today. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to we're going to give away tickets for game 4. But we have to get into this. And I hate these kind of stories, but I think it's kind of a necessary evil of what we do. And that is this Josh Donaldson story. It's a very upsetting story. And I don't understand how you could hear what he said. And even Aaron Boone said that it's just you just can't do it. And take Donaldson's side. And it's not like he's buddy-buddy. That's the thing that I think a lot of people miss out on. He's not buddy-buddy with Tim Anderson. They don't like each other. So for in the heat of a moment for him to call him Jackie, after the whole Jackie Robinson thing, it's not a cute honor. It's at minimum an insult, maximum a racist insult.
Yeah, see, that's what rubs me the wrong way with this whole thing is I understand that he said it. So you're trying to put context into, well, he said it, so now that makes it, gives me the ability to call him it. But, I mean, like you mentioned, like they don't like each other.
They don't like each other.
Right, like the way he explains it, it's like, oh, we're just kidding back and forth, and it wasn't a problem then, so why would it be a problem now? Well, no, the backstory of this is he doesn't like you. Like this is not the first time that you've had a dust-up with him. And the risk you run using something like calling him Jackie with how you did is that, okay, maybe it didn't offend him in 2019, but you know what? It offends him now.
Well, they had the issue at third base a couple weeks back, right? And now you're in the heat of a game this weekend, and it's not, and I said this to you before the show. There are times when, like, a first baseman has a guy that's with him on first, and it's joking, and it's fun, and they're messing around. Fine. But this is not like that. This has never been like that. They don't like each other. So I don't know. Other than to take it as this is a tremendous insult. And, I hear Major League Baseball is now looking into this to the point where Donaldson could be suspended, as a lot of people that are up in arms over. And I don't understand why. I think there's a clear right and wrong when it comes to this story and this situation.
Yeah, I don't, and especially the way that, that Aaron Boone, I think, reacted to it, right? Like you can tell that Aaron Boone wasn't happy that it was said. That's not what the Yankees are all about. Like I don't know why he would use that. Like I don't think there doesn't seem to be, for me, especially knowing that this isn't like, you know, a cordial relationship, any benefit to using that as the way to poke fun at somebody.
Well, I don't think it was poking fun. I think therein lies the answer, right? I think it was more than that. I think it was, how can I be nasty and mean to this guy? Oh, I'll call him Jackie. Now, again, we don't know. That's just our
yeah.
Thoughts.
But even if it was, but Dave, even if it was like, who the hell do you think you are, to even mention yourself as, you know, in the same breath as Jackie Robinson with what he went through, like everything that he had to endure. Don't put yourself in, like, because you're trying to bring fun to the game, and the pushback that you might get from that is nothing compared to, I mean, you're talking about Jackie Robinson broke the right. Racial barrier. Right?
I mean, guys were spitting, literally spitting on Jackie Robinson. So
yeah, like it's like that's not like I probably would have said to Tim Anderson at the time when he said that, like, Tim, I don't know if you trying to make yourself out to be the next Jackie Robinson because you're bringing fun to the game is appropriate. Like it's not the same thing. It's not even close to the same thing. Like, you getting pushback for trying to bring fun as opposed to Jackie Robinson trying to break down the racial barrier in baseball is a bit different, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.